You're listening to DraftKings Network.
OG.
Make some noise!
Hey, this is Alexi Lalas. There is nobody in U.S. soccer that is more important than the Cooligans.
Yeah, but nah, you do it.
Yes, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, baby. Welcome to the Cooligans, everybody. This is yet another crossover episode with our homies, the Great Total Soccer Show. Say what's up, guys.
Hello. What's up, guys?
Yeah, baby. There it is.
Okay.
Thank you for adding the levels. You're welcome for that.
Thank you for adding great to our title.
Oh, no. You guys are the best. If you don't know who they are.
These are the guys from Soccer 101. It's an honor to finally have them on for the first time.
So. It's true.
It's a hot new podcast.
Just a show we support new podcasts.
You know, these young guys.
A couple of street toughs trying to make their life correct. If you don't know who they are, it's Daryl Grove, Taylor Rockwell, the homies.
I know you're looking at questions right now on your phone, but it looked for all the world like you were reading your notes. Like they are Daryl Grove and Taylor Rockwell.
It's so cute that you think I ever have notes. So Daryl's the English one. Taylor's the one who sounds like he shouldn't be in a room with us because he's young. So we got a couple questions that we're going to ask. We do this like little Q&A thing. We're in Orlando right now.
That's right.
Sweating all of our balls off. It is very
hot. Hey, do not speak for my balls, okay?
And also, they're not falling off because they're stuck to our legs. It's so human.
So system human works.
It. System works. They figured it out.
So clearly, this is part two. This is clearly our Cooligans podcast.
We'll give it away.
Yeah. We went balls first.
If you didn't listen to part one, listen to the Total Soccer Show so you can understand why my voice sounds like Taylor Rockwell.
Yeah. Daryl kicked him in the throat in part one. He's getting real aggro.
So
keeping the competition down.
Exactly.
We had a bunch of great questions that we took on Twitter, and we're going to continue that with some Twitter questions and some Gully Squad questions.
Some Gully Squad.
So
shout out to Gully Squad. Yo, join Gully Squad right now. Go to soccercooligans.com/Gully Squad.
Exactly. So go. So let's start with a Gully Squad question. Why not?
Yeah. All right. We got Abraham Apoti said.
Minnesota United fan. Great dude. Came to our live show.
Absolutely. He was hanging out with us when we talked to Miguel Ibarra.
Do we get paid extra to answer Gully Squad questions?
Sure. What's double zero?
Supplemental fee.
Multiples of zero. If someone doesn't have an NWSL squad in town, should they pick the closest team to where they live, pick the team of their favorite U.S. women's national team player, or pick a winner and the hell to hell with proximity?
Start a campaign to get a team in your town.
That's a great option. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that could.
Especially if you have a stadium.
Yeah, or if you're a billionaire. You just happen to be a billionaire.
I'm going
to
throw some cold water on that one because I think that is a noble idea. But if you're trying to keep the interest in NWSL alive and keep people who've maybe just come to the world, like from the World Cup, and want to kind of follow the sport more, encouraging them to then go start their own grassroots campaign might be a bit of an ask. So my answer is going to be
too much work.
Yeah, basically, like, lot, I think if you've got casual people who just want to follow a team, I don't think they want to, like, start a movement as much as, like, what's a team that I can watch on TV?
Well, now we know which one of us works hard.
Yeah. I've always said Taylor
or
is the
answers
Alexis.
The question, I think, is the better way.
He also said or, so you could have your own option, which was start a campaign.
There we go. I'm going to pretend I knew that.
There we go. I would say we've had questions like this in the past. I would say don't pick a team based on the favorite player because that player can move, and then now you have to choose a new team. Or I would just, say maybe...
Or hop around now.
Yeah, like this I think that's
fine.
You
get a bunch of different jerseys. That's kind of dope.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you don't have to, like, pick one. Like, I think it's a weird thing to be, like, a sports atheist and just watch a bunch of different teams and enjoy them all, but that would probably be my answer. And I think we've said this before about, like, picking a men's team is just sort of watch some games, see which team you find yourself gravitating towards for whatever reason, and then that can be your team.
I don't think that's that foreign of a suggestion, because I think I don't have a German, like, a Bundesliga team. I just kind of watch the games when they're on, and I enjoy them for what they are. And I find myself rooting for the underdog more often than not, or I'll pick pick a team that clearly is going to get relegated to see if it's like fun. Like I did that with Biscotta in Serie A a couple years ago. Like I kind of enjoy that. I don't have a specific team in that league. So why not do that for the women's national team or the NWSL?
Or just support the team that Ali Krieger's on.
Yeah, which is, I think, our only real option.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
I think it's best friend. Make it real simple.
Yeah, although we got to talk to her for hanging out with Ops last night.
I have a question about that. Yeah. So is it – what is it about Ali Krieger specifically? Because you also had Rose Lavelle on the show, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, why are you disrespecting Rose Lavelle?
Yeah, why? No,
we love Rose.
You have anti-Rose Lavelle, exactly. Rose, yeah. We'll always have you on our show. Yeah, that's fine.
Rose by any other name.
We hate food choices.
Ali Krieger is one of the funniest human beings we've just ever met.
Really?
That's it's nothing more than that. As comedians, we hang out with comedians all the time. We know funny people. And I was absolutely like taken aback that she was this funny and could riff with us. Like, soccer players usually have zero personalities, right? That's a big issue.
Huge.
She's the like complete robots. Opposite. Yeah. Yeah. She's a good player. And also has a personality.
And also somebody you want to root for.
She's a damn unicorn. Those don't exist.
could she sit at the table in the comedy cellar with like Colin Quinn?
100%.
100%.
Come on.
I'm not making that up. 100%.
Yeah, that's why we speak so highly of her.
Yeah, we both of us legitimately left with like stars in our eyes. We were in awe of having spoken
to her. I was genuinely... watch
your,
clips.
Your voice cracking is making this so much more authentic.
I just love her so much. Why won't you come back?
She's real cool, guys. She's real cool.
You don't know her. She goes to another school.
We've ruined Christian's authentic moment.
Also, at least his voice now matches that 16-year-old face he had in his 30s. It's killing me. I'm looking like an old man. All right, Will Galvez Jr. asks, what are the overall feelings of the MLS All-Star match? Does it at times feel like the skills of our players fall short of the visiting team? Is it good for the culture of U.S. soccer, or does it feel more like a money-grabbing machine? So there's two different questions in there. Three. How do you overall feelings? Do you think our players' skills generally fall flat against visiting teams?
Real fat.
Pretty hot and tempted. Or does it feel more like a money grab? I think it's more of an overall question. So, just what are your thoughts on MLS All Star? Do we ever look good?
It's not a money grab because the league spends a bunch of money. It's a marketing exercise, right? It's totally to make the league look good. So it's not they're not making money from it unless they're thinking long term. We make money by making ourselves look important.
Mm-hmm. It's a bit of a
which is a really blunt way to say it, but like that's the basic version of what an All-Star game is, even for the NFL and the NBA.
That's what it should be used for.
But there's really no other way to put it, and I'm sorry if there's any children listening, but it's a bit of a hand job for the sponsors. That's kind of what it is. I've been a sponsor for years, and let me tell you.
Alexi left our drinks yesterday because he had to go meet with some sponsors. Now I'm wondering what that might have meant.
Now we know why he was in such a rush. Yeah.
That's why he was so upset he was wearing a white shirt. So I think it's what it is. I think it's like if you notice, there's like special suites for the sponsors and there's special partner rooms.
Yeah.
This is a chance for the sponsors to get to meet the players and that are the stars and to get to meet the traveling team, the big European club. It's a chance for them to be like, you know, same thing happened at the women's national team parade. There was like a Tag Heuer, whatever it is.
Oh, the watches.
They had one. Coca-Cola had their own float. And we were jokingly like, who are you? We don't give a damn about you. Keep it going. But it's like a chance to be
Pepsi's
like,
okay.
Yeah. It's a chance for them to be
it's
like.
It's not though. It's not.
You've given us a lot of money. Here's a chance to go celebrate with us.
Yes.
Here's one of the benefits. Right? That's all this is.
It's really impressive when the MLS executives have to take on two sponsors at once with both hands.
I feel like it's
again, you listen to the Cooligans. Yeah. Yeah. Not the Total Soccer Show.
You know what? It's tough, but I think it's people just think it's just a little bit too hard to swallow.
Anyway, he really needed to get that one out.
I'll add though that like before
the
we
sponsor,
like before we went to the one in Atlanta last year, I didn't realize like how long this event is. Like what y'all got here Saturday? That's when stuff started happening. There was like the yacht christening that not being
they
able
did a
to
regatta.
That's there's what I'm saying. Is like there's so much other stuff that happens that I think for people who think it's a money grab, there might be this idea of like, oh, it's just this one game. They bring Atleti in. They try to make money off of it. And it's a very much a Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's like 5-day extravaganza of corporate sponsorship.
But to give them credit, because they're not putting the MLS Cup in a neutral stadium, they can't plan it out as well. So this is their Super Bowl, if you will. Yeah. They can plan this for an entire year. So they jam
That's a good point.
Yeah, it's all a boondoggle, basically, just for a chance For them to go out and be able to sort of drink with their sponsors and Glad Hand and all of that.
And honestly, for us, it's an excuse to get together, right?
Yeah, like, Glad Hand.
Glad Hand.
We don't necessarily Glad Hand each other. Yeah, like, we get to meet up. We get to meet up with you guys and a bunch of other
people. Now that you're not drinking, we can.
I mean.
And a load of other people in soccer media, so we all get together and, yeah, Glad Hand.
Yeah, I will say that it... As much as we kind of don't know that we get as much out of All-Star as we did in the first few years, it's an opportunity for us to sort of all get together and all meet in one. It's almost like a conference for us.
Yeah.
So for that, I'm excited about it, and that's why I like being here. So,
all right. And I would just like to cap it off by saying that Christian is wearing all white today. And I feel like, given what you've just said about Alexi's attire yesterday, now I have questions.
Oh, hey. There's going to be some Glenn Hand.
I'm here to do business.
I want you to see what you did.
Oh, my God.
Jesus. It's the Cooligan, man. Jesus. This isn't your grammar school podcast.
Okay.
Just been listening to this one.
Yes, he does. Yeah. I just realized that. Yeah, yes.
No, dude, we're talking about high fives, Jeremy.
It's vague enough. It's all good. Let's get a Twitter question. And this is from Inside the 18 Goalkeeping Podcast.
Yay! Mike Magic.
It says, should Nick Raimondo start the All-Star game or come in late as a semi-testimonial? What's a better send-off for a legendary career?
Start at center forward.
Ooh. I say give him a painting.
So you want to lose to Diego Simeone. Got it.
It's that way he faces Diego Costa, right?
I know, so, right? Yeah. They should just let him take part in the skills challenge. You know? There's really no need to put him in the game.
Wow. Cold. Jesus Christ. Cold.
Yeah, you want to send him upstate to a farm.
That's where he's going.
He's running around upstate, kids.
Just saving goals upstate in a nice field.
At one point, we have to try to win one of these games.
Well, what did it finish last year? Was it 1-1?
They won on All-Stars won on penalties, right?
No.
Juve won on penalties, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, Juve won on penalties.
There we go.
And the year prior against Real Madrid, Real Madrid won on penalties as well.
All right. All right, so we should just go for blood this time? Like really? Just go
super two-footed? We went to the Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid friendly at MetLife Stadium.
Not so friendly.
Not so friendly at all. Mm-hmm. Diego Costa got a red card. Carvajal, I think, also got a red card.
Yeah.
It was... intense.
Did you see the video Melissa Ortiz shot of the Barcelona fan walking around carrying his Messi jersey when it was like 5-2?
No, I didn't see that.
And all the fans are throwing beer on him, and he's just walking up the stairs like, give me more. It's gone like super viral. It's got like 20 million
views. Send me your $10 beers.
Yeah.
Someone
stole the jersey out of his hands, and he didn't care. He just kept walking up the stairs.
Atleti won 7-3. They were up 6-0 at some point. Yeah, sure. It's a friendly, but Zidane was furious. You could clearly tell. So I think Atleti's going to like actually try to play this game and win this game. And we went to the press conference with the Atleti players, and Diego Simeone seems like...
he's like, you put the competition in front of me, I will kill them.
Yeah,
he doesn't care.
That checks out.
He's this defensive mastermind, right? And all his answers seem like that he's going to take this game seriously, and mainly that he doesn't want to be scored on, right? So I don't think the All-Stars are going to score a goal in my...
Oh, okay. Opinion. Especially with Godin gone, like they're going to try to continue to work on their back line. I got one from Mike Thomas here.
Hold on. I think this question started with where should Nick Raimondo play? So is the answer then if they're going to go hard that we should not give him any minutes?
Yeah. No,
okay.
You got on the team.
Who else got Andre Blake and...
Brad Guzan.
Brad Guzan. Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Let all three of them start.
Guzan's going to
start. Put all three in goal. They should let us put all three in goal.
But if it goes to penalties, then you put Raimondo in and let him just dive around and make some saves.
Yeah. Tyler's got the answer.
He would be the best penalty.
Van Hall did that, right, with Netherlands?
He
switched their goalkeeper penalties. Yeah, dude. I love that.
Okay,
tactic.
Let's do that.
All right, Mike Thomas. Always ask great questions. Gully Squad member, shouts to you, Mike Thomas. What sort of 101 podcast series would the Cooligans host?
Ooh. I mean,
would we do extra work?
Allowed
That's
one.
A real question. It would probably be about sandwiches or pizza.
Yeah. I feel like it would be like pizza 101.
What about a cut? So 101 is like explain. I'm not doing this just to push to market 101.
Soccer 101 is an incredible podcast everyone should listen to.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And it's like an explainer, right? We explain things like offside and what the numbers mean on the back, 6, 8, 10.
It's the official mansplain podcast. I think it's wonderful. I'm so glad you guys did it.
You guys should
Well, actually, Alexis.
You guys should do it for comedy. like a, an explainer about like how certain things in comedy work.
Ooh, that would be actually pretty good.
It would be good. It's, I don't know. It's weird. You know what? For our soccer fans.
How jokes work.
Well, for our soccer fans, I think they would be interested. For our comedy peers, they'd be like, look at these pieces of shit.
Yeah. Who are you? Who are you to talk?
Yeah. We would get so much crap.
Really?
It. Yeah.
Didn't you have like enough standing? It's like, you've both been working for like a decade, right?
But I mean, it's not. It's just the idea of, oh, you're the one who's going to explain it? Yeah. Like, oh, let Dave Chappelle do that. It's not like you're not good
enough. He's busy. Dave Chappelle's busy.
Actually, he's retiring after his next special.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
I feel like y'all could do.
He's fishing with Nick Romando.
He has no clue who Nick Romando is.
I think I may end up putting my foot in my mouth here a little bit, but like, y'all are like,
I'd pay
like,
to see that.
Like Alexis, like when did, like how old were you when you like first started getting into soccer?
I probably 12, 13.
All right. I guess like, I feel like you all have like, cause we go like deep on weird historical things sometimes. And I feel like that's not necessarily what y'all do, but I would like, actually, I would just enjoy hearing y'all do that, like get into some random team from the 70s and how crazy they were, like the Zaire team in the World Cup. Do you remember that? Like, yeah, like I would, cool. I would listen to y'all break down like the Zaire team and why they were sort of this.
And that
like,
would be great.
Historically known team.
It would involve me doing all the research.
Okay,
yeah. Alexis just responding to the fact that I read a book.
Yeah. And then calling them corny for it all the time. Actually, you know what? If we did do a soccer 101, it would be the like the most corrupt games, like that game where they all just pass to each other so the other team couldn't get in.
Yeah.
Or Diego Maradona doing like getting caught doing coke during the game. That kind of stuff is what we would do, like the gulliest games.
You mean like last year?
No, remember that time he did the penalties in he at a charity game and someone ran up to him, gave him a bump as he was celebrating?
No,
what? It's on YouTube.
What?
He did blow during in a soccer game on YouTube. It's on YouTube.
Here's a free idea for you guys. Free idea. The gully history of soccer. You just soccer history from start to finish, but just the gulliest moment.
That's that a Chuck Blazer appreciation podcast.
Yeah. Christian, get researching.
Yeah.
All right.
Christian, get us an apartment for cats.
Okay.
I do want y'all to do like the pieces of shit of podcast or pieces of shit of soccer podcast where you're just like, yeah, do a whole history of Chuck Blazer. I would enjoy that.
Cats in Blazers.
Yes.
This
is too good of an idea.
Oh, just
my commission is reasonable.
An other soccer podcast review show where we just trash other people's podcasts.
I mean, there's enough podcasts.
This show hasn't published since 2013.
Yeah. Let me.
I'm still at the top of the new soccer rank.
I got a question from Tim Betancourt. He says,
Betancourt,
out of the four of you, who is most likely to get nutmegged multiple times in a game? And I'm going to have to say it's me. It's clearly me because I've already been nutmegged multiple times in a game.
You also have like giraffe legs. You know what I mean? There's just a lot of space in between them.
Sure. I got some, you know, very thin calves.
I think I could give you a run for your money. I'm susceptible to a nutmeg just because I'm kind of sometimes too aggressive tackling and I open my legs up and there's a chance to pop it through. But I will say this in my defense. I sometimes get nutmegged, but not fully nutmegged.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like I'll end up opening
you
my
foul
legs.
Them before they can get the ball?
I mean, yeah, kind of. Like the ball will go through my legs. I'm like, nope. This is not happening.
Oh.
I'm either going to step across you or you've given me the ball. Like, you turn around quick enough, you got the ball.
Exactly.
Yeah. I appreciate you being self-deprecating, but the truth is that you're very smart at knowing when a person is trying to nutmeg you. Like I not that I'm particularly skillful, but I have difficulty doing it because you know that I will look for it.
Like in the office or in a game?
Oh no, in a game. Like you there have been times when we've done pickup where you will like bait the nutmeg and then I'll go for it, but you like just close really fast and take the ball away.
That is true. If you know people are really looking for a nutmeg, you can open it up a little bit.
Okay.
And they think, oh, there's the window, and then the window closes.
Yeah.
I think Taylor gets too aggressive if you get nutmegged once or twice. I've seen you play. You'd be like, that's never happening again.
Oh, I would definitely sweep a leg.
And meanwhile, I don't play at all, but I am on the sideline, spread eagle on my back. So
I will say, my most like humiliating soccer moment was a guy megged me, and he was like talking trash, and I was like, you can't do that again. Yeah. And he like just squared up and did it again. It was so bad. It was really bad. I was like, that didn't work for me.
I played in Cal Martino's Street FC.
That guy's dead now.
Right. So, but who showed up?
Aleko
Escandarian showed up. So I never, you know, I thought it was going to be like a fun, like, you know, a bunch of amateurs.
He's like, I'll just swing by after the podcast.
Yeah, just, you know, we have a little kickabout. and then I didn't realize it was like former MLS pros playing in this. So I'm like, let me hop on. And I'm trying to defend Lecco, Escondido, DC United, and LA Galaxy, and he nutmegged me twice, and he's forever my enemy.
Again, it sounds like you're crying.
I haven't forgiven.
It really does.
I haven't forgiven him.
It broke me.
He's the reason the voice is gone.
Every time I see him, I remind him that he's on my shit list.
And he's like, who are you again?
Danielle's a fave.
She's
the best.
She's on both parts. Like,
she's our fave. But she said the same thing in the last one. No question. But please have Taylor or Daryl, please do the intro again. I about died laughing last time, and we did it. So.
That's the second time you've combined our names.
I know. I keep doing it in my head.
But we usually get. Terrell.
That's what he
did. Do Terrell, but I think earlier he said like Daylor. He said Daylor. I think. That was a new
one.
We get
it. I'm not smart. Let's move on.
I just like our celebrity couple names. Yeah. It's good to know.
Kevin Brothers.
Okay, go for it.
Kevin Brothers has a great question.
Sounders fan. Great dude.
Great dude. Was a control.
Air traffic controller.
He's a fine dude. I don't know.
Every time he hangs out with us, he smashes. So, shouts to you, Kevin Brothers. How do they feel about MLS banning the Iron Front flag from matches?
Against it. You got to pick a side. And you're either with the Nazis or you're against the Nazis.
Yeah.
I'm against the Nazis.
I think this one especially frustrates me because I feel like...
Wait, let's give a little background. Yeah, MLS swears that they want to be anti-political. So,
apolitical.
Apolitical. So... It doesn't matter what side you're representing. It's not allowed during a game. But this bleeds over to a lot of cultural stuff, like the rainbow flag, you know, the anti-fascism flag or what all welcome. Anything that's remotely tied to something that's somewhat political, MLS has taken a stance that it's not allowed.
Yep.
So now something as overwhelmingly positive, you would assume, as the people who fought against Nazis and were anti-Nazi, their flag, which is a circle with three arrows in a diagonal pointing down, that has now been banned.
Yeah, and just to give a bit of history on this, that literally I read a Wikipedia article, so that's the extent of my knowledge, but the Iron Front was the original like anti-Nazi group in the 30s in Germany.
That's what I'm
talking
about. Literally
against the rise of the original Nazi party. They were on the right side of history.
Right. Yeah. And so now that's been banned. So, I mean, I'm all for if you say you're apolitical to be apolitical. I mean, as much as I'm completely against banning something like this because I agree with the Iron Front flag, maybe that's just a touch too in the political world, I guess, for them, and it makes sense for them to ban it.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming this has something to do with sponsors like everything else. My thing that pisses me off is like the rainbow flag, things that are inclusive.
Yeah.
That should never be banned. Things that are like if you're allowing players to wear that on their back 1 week out of the year to help sell jerseys, then you should allow people to display that, especially supporters cultures, you display what you believe.
Yeah.
Things that are saying like, you know, refugees welcome, all are welcome. That's a no-go if you ban that.
I feel like the only thing the only reason I can think of why to ban it is to sort of not allow not allow the opposing groups to also show up and confront these people.
What? Yeah, that makes sense. But I think it's just like if you have. Sorry, I interrupted you, Chris.
No, but my main thing is, I think like you said, it's the right side of history. I would say let this, stance flourish because it's not going to be kept out of soccer for very long. We see it in other countries where political groups and very alt-right, very right-wing. It's a big issue in a lot of other countries and a lot of other leagues. We can be on the right side of history and let these a bit more liberal, more free thinking groups kind of flourish a little bit more.
I agree because we're in dangerous times. Like this, not to get too serious, but I think we're in dangerous times where things are drifting like dangerously right, and you either. If MLS essentially wants to just absolve themselves of any political responsibility, oh, we're just not getting involved in that, then you're essentially letting it happen.
But see, right? It's worse than that.
Be
though.
Brave. Be brave and take a stand.
Yeah. I think that's my frustration with it. Like to go back to like the initial thing is like, but it frustrates me because it's just an easy way to be like, oh, we have a policy, and so no. It's like you're basically not taking a stance by taking a stance.
And you're saying not our problem. Like I'm sure
you mean you're taking a stance.
And if the Nazis take over, we'll still have to leave.
I think you said the end.
Either way, but I think that's what frustrates me. It's like it's basically MLS being like, we don't want to have to deal with any of that, so everything is not allowed. Yeah, but it's
cowardly.
It's cowardly, but it's like creating a rule to then be able to exist behind that rule of like, oh, sorry, we made this rule that says there can't be anything political, so there can't be anything. Like, it's basically them creating a system that they can then, like, absolves them of any responsibility when it comes to dealing with stuff, because a lot of people don't know what, it's not like it said, like, Trump sucks or anything, which he does, but, like, it, like, that, it's the three arrows, right? It's like, it's, yeah. It's not a violent flag. It's not inciting violence. It's not even attacking people. It's a symbol. And yeah, like, if people want to go look it up, they can. But for MLS to then be like, well, it's a slippery slope. It's like, it's not really. Like, at some point, you kind of got
to
be
learn
like,
learn to balance. How about that?
Yeah.
I mean, some symbols are better than others.
John Oliver, I think, said it like, my favorite summary of it was, because it always goes to the like, well, where does it stop? Where does it stop? Like, how, like, and John Oliver's answer to that is always somewhere. It stops somewhere. Like, it's, if you want to go down that road, you can go down that road.
Yeah, but I feel agree
like
with that.
To me, that's what upsets me about this is a dog whistle to everyone on the other side. They look at it as like, oh, it's a victory for us that they're not allowed to fly that flag. And I think it takes too many of those situations for people to understand, oh, we fucked up by not picking a side. Pick a side. You have to. And there seems to only be one option as far as I'm concerned. Yep. So pick the correct side.
I pick a side. I choose Wolves and anti-Nazis.
Yeah. Okay. There you go.
Good pair.
Dude, both of those together in a group would be dope. Just put the Wolves and anti-Nazis.
George Mendes runs the whole thing.
Espiritu Santo.
All right. Next up, this is from Andrew Johnson. This is a good question. He says, what player from 90s European football who never played in MLS do you wish had played in the U.S. at least one season?
Gaza.
Did you see his nomination? Yeah, his nomination is solid.
He said, "My vote is Vinny Jones."
Ooh, that's a good pick.
Who I know from movies.
Yes, right? Exactly.
I do feel like if you watch Vinny Jones play, it would be slightly disappointing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because you have the image of him from the movies, like Big Chris in the leather jacket and all that. And he was really just a so-so midfielder.
Who crushed Paul Gascoigne's testicles.
That photo is his
career. That photo is his legacy, yeah.
But like, it's not like he did that every week, you know what I'm saying?
And that's a real shame, you know?
Because that was next in line.
What they should do, they could have got Vinny Jones in, but given him the Zlatan treatment, where you're allowed to do anything.
Yeah.
Where you can injure players and we just don't punish you. Then you could let Vinny Jones run.
They
got
to do that with Cantona. Jesus. I think Bergkamp. I think he would have just, watching him play against...
Here's the problem. Are you about to say the problem?
I'll let you say it.
He hates to fly. He's afraid of flying. So he would have to fly everywhere.
Like, oh, wow.
He won't fly.
Really?
Yeah.
So he'd be playing like, he'd only play.
Hold on, B.A. Baracus reference? Shouts to you. Mr. T reference. Hell yeah. I didn't know that made it to it. That might be a new show in England right now.
But isn't it Aaron? Yeah.
Isn't like Brian Regan, the comedian who travels on bus because he doesn't like to fly? So maybe that could be Bergkamp. Bergkamp could just travel from Soccer City to Soccer City.
He just got divorced, but he used to have put his whole family on the bus and go on the road for 2 or 3 months. Mm. This huge, huge, touring trailer.
There we go. That could work.
Wow, Bergkamp doesn't like to fly.
Yeah, it's tough in the United States, right?
Dude, we're going early 90s? Is that basically where we are?
Early 90s.
Because I feel like Lineker could redeem himself for for having it. Where did he poop himself? Was that 90?
In the World Cup in 1990. Yeah.
Oh, it wasn't 94. Right. Oh, yeah. You guys weren't there. Yeah. Never mind. Okay. Yeah, so he could come here and do that. I wouldn't mind if Lineker scored goals and then, pooped on some fields. That'd be cool.
How about Baggio? Baggio.
Ooh, that's the answer. That's my answer. Baggio, I steal that.
Why did not Gaza?
I think it should be Baggio. I'm just going to say that.
Yo, we hate Tottenham. Don't nobody respect the English, dog.
Collectively, we all hate Tottenham. Yeah.
Good, I'm glad we finally got that.
this is going to be...
Also, he would die. You know how much alcohol there is?
That's literally what I was about to say. This is like a huge bummer, but like, you know the stories about Chris Farley, where it was like, he was sitting with people and somebody would come up and be like, hey man, like, let's go do blow. And he'd be like, okay. Like, and his friends were like, no, you're going to die. Like, please stop doing that. Please stop offering him stuff.
Yeah.
Gaza, I feel like, people would keep buying him drinks and keep buying him drinks and it would be a problem.
Yeah, he'd be a legend, but for all the wrong reasons.
All right, we have we don't have too much time. Maybe we'll do 2-3 more questions and wrap this up.
Too much time. We'll just do the rest of it.
We have all the time you need.
Okay. Patrick Delaney asked, thoughts on Alex Mendes going to Ajax?
Pro.
Okay.
First thing I saw when I woke up this morning, I checked Twitter and I saw a photo of Alex Mendes signing a piece of paper and Ajax were like, welcome or something. And I did a little celebration in my bed. A little fist bump. Like, yeah.
Can you explain really quickly, because I often forget, what's the rule with signing young foreign players in the Netherlands?
Oh, in the Netherlands, you have to pay them a certain salary.
Right.
Right? So he was only earning like €1,000 a month at Freiburg, mm-hmm. where he was.
I see Freiburg, yeah.
If he signed for Ajax, this means he hasn't got a European passport, right? So it means that he must be paid, I don't know what the number is, it's something like 400,000 a year or something. He's getting paid a decent salary.
Whoa, whoa.
So that means that they've properly said, like, all right, this is a guy that we're very interested
in. Yeah. That's good news. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so that's for those reasons, what Daryl just said, that's why I'm excited about it. Because it means he's going to a place where they like have definitely watched him and have decided he is worth the investment.
Is he more of a winger or more of a midfielder?
Midfielder, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like a playmaker, controls the game, number 10 kind of guy.
That's awesome.
Perfect passing. Beautiful passing.
I've seen his pass. I've seen his highlight clips. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm. And he's going to play for young Ajax, probably, right? Which is where Sergino Dest played last year. So he's probably going to play in the second tier of Dutch football, which is semi-competitive, but it's definitely better than USL, where he was playing, and better than Freiburg U19s, right? Yeah. So young Ajax for Alex Mendes. And getting paid some money.
Ajax is a hell of a place to develop. I mean, especially if you're a good passer and you're a good technical player.
Right, and they'll give you a chance. They'll give you a chance, yeah.
All right, next up. If this is from Mr. O at Academic Ickery. Anyway, he says, if TSS podcast guest played Cooligans podcast guest, who would win?
Cooligans.
Yeah, you guys have had more high-profile players.
I think so.
Yeah, we had Giuseppe Rossi on, son.
Giuseppe Rossi, I think,
yeah,
would be...
Yeah, he'd tear his ACL. Yeah.
On the way to go get pork roll.
But you all have a guest a week, right? Or thereabouts?
We try our best.
Yeah.
We try our best.
And so I feel... I mean, like, we have people intermittently. If it was in-studio guests, we'd be in real trouble. Because you two would be on our team, I think. Jason Davis might be in there. I'm not sure who else has been in the studio. So, yeah, I think you all probably have had more guests on, so your squad is probably
Jimmy
a little
Jones, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Annie Krieger.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, our like starting 11 would like literally just demolish.
Jason Davis? I'm done.
Okay, Adam Snavely. I don't know how much.
I'm just gonna sit in a lawn chair out here. That'd be good.
Yeah, like we'd have to go deep into like the like games we've been to Rolodex of like, well, we did get to like I got to ask, I don't know, like the random people we got to ask questions to that we could like pull out.
Mixed zone questions?
Yeah, I don't know. That's the question.
You might win that.
All right, now we've got a
have you guys been in mixed zones? So if
not many.
We had Dax. We had
Stefan Fry.
We had what's his name? Bastian Schweinsteiger.
Kellen Acosta.
Oh, so
it's competitive now.
Oh, that was for a different. It wasn't for TSS. That was what I was about to say. I talked to Gattuso, but that was for a different thing, not for the show. So he's never been on the show.
Right.
And if he hadn't, he'd just be silent and angry and staring at me. So I don't know if that's what thing
so
we want.
Cooligans win.
Yeah,
we concede. We concede.
It is competitive though, based on some of those.
Last question. This is from Gerhatura. Who's I've seen him a bunch. He's a fan. He says Joseph Martinez said in an interview today. He doesn't like to watch soccer. Since Alexis is a lord of the pizza world, does that mean he can't listen to pizza critics?
So in order for me to be good at pizza, I can't listen to pizza critics? Well, I don't, because pizza critics don't know anything about pizza.
Aren't you a pizza critic?
No, I'm a pizza...
I'm struggling with this analogy. Because wouldn't it be like you don't... Like eat pizza aside from when you're reviewing pizza.
Joseph Martinez is so good at soccer, yet he doesn't watch.
Right,
Alexis, you're so good at pizza. Is it you don't listen to the critics?
But wouldn't it make more sense to be like Alexis? You're so good at pizza that you are really good at reviewing pizza, but you don't like pizza. If he doesn't like watching soccer, like that's where I'm confused with this analogy.
Can we hear the question one more time? Yeah. I'm very confused.
Since Alexis is a lord of the pizza world, does that mean he can't listen to pizza critics? So I think. If I was to rephrase the question, it would probably be like, can you watch a show about pizza or something like that?
No. It was very difficult.
Chicago Pizza? You don't watch that one?
You know what? I don't mind Fantasma. We're going to go off the rails here.
Oh, no. I'm just making more of the joke that like I didn't realize. I was talking to David Gass yesterday. I didn't realize that there are three different like Chicago Fire, Chicago PD or whatever, and Chicago Emergency. Or like so, yeah, we'll just add Chicago Pizza to the list of Chicago shows that you could watch.
I can't.
There we go. Perfect.
I can't watch... shows about stand-up. I can't do it.
Like it's crashing.
Crashing.
Yeah.
I mean,
the level
Pete Holmes,
of
great
reality,
dude.
There's ridiculous. There's none. It was just.
It's not for stand-up.
You guys
comics.
Didn't get to live with Bill Burr for a couple nights.
Yeah,
that never happened.
No. I mean, I remember my third weekend. It was just me and Artie Lang.
what would you say is the most like? This is a weirder one, but like, what is the most realistic depiction you think of stand-up comedy, or of comedy in general?
Like a show?
I don't know, because like I've heard that like funny people despite being two different movies, is like like the Adam Sandler, the first half of that is like a decent representation of like basically who Adam Sandler is. That it's like a comic who succeeded, but now got too big and kind of doesn't like being a comic anymore.
Yeah,
but I'm wondering if there are other ones that y'all do enjoy.
I think that is a good representation. I'm trying to think of
There's a couple books that are amazing that capture the experience. So.
No, everyone watch TV.
I think the movie The Comedian, which is more of like a bit of a documentary about Jerry Seinfeld. That's on YouTube. That is as close as I've ever seen anything to being like, here's the life.
It's just Orny Adams? Is that the other one?
Adams.
You ready to laugh?
Yeah. He picks up the stool and uses it as a phone. Jesus Christ. That guy's still selling out rooms. But like that, the idea of this like incessant need to get the joke right. That never stopped.
Why don't you guys have that?
You know, because I just don't care. I'm too busy talking about pizza.
Listeners, Daryl has fallen back. Yeah. And he made him literally holding his side.
Made himself laugh. I feel like I got that joke right.
Steve Martin wrote a great book about comedy and his career. I think it's called Standing Up.
I read that.
Great book and captures what the experience of, you know, kind of the, I would say a lot of these shows probably don't really capture the depression. And trying your best at something or trying to figure it out, it failing a lot, those kind of experience. And then also a lot of your peers, and this is the thing in comedy we deal with a lot. There's a lot of people that use drugs. There's alcoholics. People also suffer from a lot of depression and
mental health issues.
So you have to like kind of navigate like, are we coworkers? Are we friends? It's a very blurred line of like.
Yeah, because you don't work for like the comedy corporation.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, there's no one telling you what to do or when to do it. So it's kind of like you make up your own rules as you go along. But that said, I think The Comedian gives you a really good idea of what like that feverish need to get on stage is like.
Yeah.
And that's really like, for all intents and purposes, on the show Louis, there was a woman who heckled. And he kind of really went at her. And he said, one of the things he said, he goes, I literally wait all day for these 15 minutes and you're ruining it. Yeah. And I can't explain to you how true that was. It's like, we literally sit all day, breakfast, lunch, whatever, driving, sitting at home, on the subway. All we think about is what we're going to do that night. What are we going to say when we get that microphone?
Yeah.
And when you get up there, that's all that matters. And then as soon as you get off, that depression hits right away. You're like, oh God, I wish I could do that again. And you know, blah, blah. And then that's why people turn to a lot of those things. So I think The Comedian does a great job of explaining that.
Yeah. Does it help to have like The Cooligans as a whole separate, like non-stand up thing
much.
That you
it's
can
change? It's changed our lives. And just even personally, it gives me this sense of purpose. Yeah. And I still get to do something comedic that's not specifically stand up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it gives me a thing that is, this is, comedically, this is the first thing we've done that has reached so many people that are consistently like, we love what you do. Please keep doing this.
But it's also like right in our wheelhouse. We both love soccer. We both love being funny, or at least attempting to. And I think this is a good avenue for us. But also it's like, it lets us focus on something else during the day. It lets us sort of, it gives us, you know, like a ball of yarn for a cat. You know, it keeps us busy. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I think that for me, it's nice to have this thing that I could turn to and be like, oh, I have to send an email for this, or I have to go do this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, I have to think about what
I'm
going to joke.
I won't do it, but maybe Christian will do
it.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, Christian did it already. So I guess I'll just continue to play video games in my underwear.
Another great book, Comedy at the Edge, which is about the Comedy Store and Mitzi Shore.
I'm Dying Up Here was also another great book.
Say that again?
I'm Dying Up Here.
Okay. Mitzi Shore is Pauly Shore's mother.
Yeah.
And she ran the Comedy Store for years. She passed away, I believe, last year.
Yeah.
I really know about her through the Marc Maron podcast.
Okay.
Yeah, so many conversations with people about
her. She's beloved.
Yeah.
And also feared.
Yeah. So, but that's another great book. And
that's a good thing to be. It's a good combo.
The height of the popularity of stand-up comedy in the 70s and 80s. But it captures those experiences as well. And so that's it.
Yeah.
I can't talk anymore, guys.
All right, let's get some Colombian food in.
All right, let's do it.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody. We appreciate you. Again, listen to part one.
Just going to get food now.
TSS, the Total Soccer Show podcast, if you want to hear some other questions that we had taken.
A little less swearing and sexual innuendos.
Just a tad.
Did you swear once in that? Do I have to edit that out?
I didn't swear.
You didn't? Okay.
I swear.
I said dead ass. I don't know if that's something.
No, that's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. That,
I think about an F-bomb from Christian, but I wasn't sure what it was.
No, I didn't. I said, I'll let go Escondero into my shit list, but that was on this episode.
And now you've said it twice, yeah. So he knows for sure.
Oh, he knows. He carved it into his bedpost when he left the house. So, thank you so much for listening. This has been absolutely amazing. Another crossover episode with TSS.
Yes.
Shit for cockballs.
With that said, for Daryl Grove, for Taylor Rockwell, my name is Christian Polanco.
And my name is Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!
I can't believe you did it.